This morning, what I'd like to do is give you an overview of what is a code of best practice under the State Records Act, because I've been getting a little bit of feedback about what is it? What are you talking about? Didn't know we even had one. I'm going to give you some background about what is currently in place as the code of best practice, and then look at the new Australian standard ISO 15489 2017. Which has been accepted as the industry best practice standard for records management, and the differences between that standard and the 2002 standard, and give you a bit of a wrap on what's happening with the consultation process. So hopefully this will answer your questions and fill in the gaps for those who are missing out on what is a code of best practice. Basically, we don't tend to talk about codes of best practice all that often. But they are part of the rules and requirements of the State Records Act. And I must note that it's actually been 15 years since we last consulted with you about a code of best practice. So if it's missing from your memory banks, don't worry, it has been a while. Basically, codes of best practice are industry standards and documents which codify and describe best practice. In a rough way, that's what they are. When we refer to industry standards, we're referring to standards issued by Standards Australia or professional bodies such as RIMPA and the Australian Society of Archivists. Industry standards are different to the standards set by the New South Wales State Archives and Records Authority. Industry standards are not prescriptive. They don't set minimum compliance requirements, but they can be used as benchmarks for practices and systems and processes. But they're not generally designed for a formal auditing process. Now, Section 13(1) of the State Records Act permits the State Records... Sorry, we've changed name three times in the last 8 months. Permits State Archives and Records to approve codes of best practice for records management for use by public officers. Just like standards, the codes of best practice are mandatory for public officers, and failure to comply with a code of best practice would leave the public office open to criticism in an investigation where they were looking specifically at your record-keeping practices, processes and policies. As part of the process of issuing a code of best practice, just like the standards, we need to consult with you and make sure that you're happy with the code, the proposed code, and that you're supportive of the code going forward. So that's basically what we're doing at the moment with our consultation. Okay, currently we have a code of best practice in New South Wales. It's the 2002 International Standard on Records Management, which was turned into the Australian Standard on International Records Management, ISO 15489.1 and 2 from 2002. This standard was accepted as the national best practice and industry standard back in 2002. And we went out and consulted with you back in 2002 about using it as a code of best practice under our Act. Everyone agreed, and so it has been in place since then. However, it's 15 years old now. Doesn't necessarily meet our needs in 2018, nor the challenges that we face when we're talking about digital record keeping. And this has also been recognised by our colleagues in the international standards community. So from 2012 through to 2016, the International Committee on Records Management, ISO TC46 SC11, reviewed the international standard. The outcome of that review is a new standard. ISO 15489 from 2016, which was adopted by Australia last year as the national best practice in records management for Australia. So basically, new industry best practice standard. At New South Wales State Archives and Records, we've been observing the process. We've also been participating in the process to revise the international standard. The international standard was actually agreed to by all the national standard bodies that sign up to ISO. At State Archives, we've reviewed the final version of the standard. We believe it's appropriate to move the New South Wales public sector across to the new Australian standard because it does represent national best practice and it's extremely relevant to our record keeping practices and processes today. So, what's different in this standard? And I've tried to be as encompassing as I can without breaking copyright from Standards Australia, but to give you enough information if you haven't actually been able to get a copy of the standard to have a look at. Basically, the 2002 standard came in two parts. The first part was to do with the general requirements. The second part was the guidelines. Importantly, only the first part of that standard has been revised. The International Committee chose not to revise part two, which is the guidelines section, because they felt that there's now such a wide range of international standards, technical reports and guidance out there, that there was no need to actually revise that part of the standard. What was really fundamental was the first part, the guidelines, the conceptual understandings about what records management actually is. So the International Committee views the new standard as very much a central or centre point standard for all the other standards that are out there, and there's lots more coming, you'll be pleased to know. So for Australia, basically ASISO 15489 2017 completely replaces the 2002 lot. Standards Australia has actually revoked those standards. You can still buy them if you want a technical copy, but they're no longer in place as the active standard. Now, the key difference for the 2002 to 2017 standard are the five principles for managing records. This standard is very much about principles and concepts. So in the 2002 standard, you had principles for a records management program. Whereas in 2017, we're looking at what are the fundamental principles we need to manage records, regardless of format, type, or technological environment. So in other words, positioning the standard to assist us manage whatever comes down the path at us. What do we need to know? So I've put all the five principles up there. As you would agree when you have a read of them, they're no-brainers. They're things that we hold dear now, but they've been spelt out and articulated through the standard to allow us to obviously produce this when we need it to support the case that we're mounting. The other really fundamental difference with this standard is its focus on the digital environment. Yes, you can still apply it to paper, but it's predominantly setting up good regimes and practices for managing digital. And the core concepts and the principles that we'll need for such a dynamically changing environment. So the principles I just showed you are digital ready, for want of a better expression, and can be used to guide flexible approaches to implementing records management. In the discussion of records in Clause 5.1, the relationship between records and the evidence of business activity is emphasised. The importance of metadata is there, and basically setting up the things that we need to have the conversations that we have quite regularly about why we need to implement good records management tools and practices around whatever system. The standard is a very concise and contemporary representation of practice. If you've read the 2017 standard, you read it and go, yeah, that works, that fits exactly with what we're seeing, how we're implementing. It's also just an easy read. It's not too technical in its jargon. The standard's divided into sections on records and record systems, policies and responsibilities, appraisal, records controls, and the processes needed to create, capture, and manage records. Now, one of the really big delights for the Australian community is appraisal. Appraisal is back. It's only taken us many, many years. David Muldridge, who is the former chair of the International Committee, is smiling, but it's only taken us 15 years to get it back on the table.
20 years.
So, appraisal has been repositioned as the key tool for managing records. It's not just about retention periods. It's actually about the analytical framework we need to determine what records we need to create in the first place, how we manage them, and what we do with them at the end. So if you remember appraisal from AS4390, it's back, and it's back with a vengeance. it's in this standard. Now, the standard has actually removed the Dirks methodology, which some of us do hold very dear to our hearts. But I'm very pleased to say aspects of the Dirks methodology, the first three steps, have been incorporated into the discussion on appraisal. So if you were a keen fan of steps A, B, and C, they're there, but in a slightly different guise, but under the appraisal section. And you're being asked to do very similar activities as you would have undertaken in those three steps. Metadata is considered to be a very critical component of a record. It's scattered throughout the entire standard. It's there as the contextualising aspect of a record. So it's very, very much a key component of this process throughout the standard. The standard also includes a revised set of characteristics for authoritative records, things like authenticity, reliability, integrity, and usability. They're all there. The standard also looks at record systems and defines them very broadly, and in effect captures any type of information system that has the potential to create records. The standard includes both requirements for record systems and the characteristics of record systems. And once again, it's been distilled down to the key concepts that need to be in place regardless of the type of system that you're going to run. So in other words, these are the things that need to be in the by design, or if you're going to have to do some bolt-on functionality at the end, these are the things that are really important that must be there. But once again, keeping it technology neutral so that these are the fundamentals that we apply regardless. As noted earlier, Dirks has gone. The eight steps for record systems design have gone. But what this is recognising in the new standard is that there's lots of different ways to do systems design. We've come a long way since 2002. There's lots of different methodologies out there. And rather than locking ourselves just into Dirks, designing and implementing record keeping systems, for anyone who doesn't know, rather than locking ourselves into one methodology, let's be flexible, let's use whatever works to get us across the line using the requirements and concepts that we need. And the last part of the standard is the control tools. There should be no surprises there, they're all standard control tools. But once again, the emphasis is on what is it about this tool? What is the purpose of this tool rather than a format or implementation prescriptive impact? So in other words, what are we trying to get out of this tool? What is it trying to achieve so that you can then pick up that information and apply it in whatever process you're actually building or implementing in your own organisation? And once again, applicable in any environment. So that's the standard in a nutshell. What's next? Well, basically, we recognise the need to update the Code of Best Practice, and we support the Australian standard. And we think that using the new Australian standard on records management will assist public officers in records management practices. As I've mentioned, the State Records Act puts a number of obligations on New South Wales State Archives and Records, so we're obliged to actually consult with you to make sure that everyone else is of the same feeling as us about this. And we launched a consultation process not so long ago. We've extended the deadline for feedback because of the Easter break, so you've now got till the end of next week to get back to us. So basically what we need to know is that you're supportive of us moving forward from 2002 standard to the 2017 standard. Or if you have violent objections, please let me know. Following the closure of submissions, we're anticipating getting this formally adopted at our board meeting in June, and obviously contacting everyone and letting them know that the Code of Best Practice has actually changed. And I have to put a sort of little note on the end, I'm really sorry, but unfortunately due to Standards Australia's strict copyright requirements, we've not been able to make a copy of the standard available on our website. I do have copies if anyone wants to come and see me. Alternatively, you do have to buy it from SIA SAI Global, which is the publishing arm of Standards Australia. So my apologies for that, but there's just no way we can get around that one. I will be putting this presentation up on our website this afternoon. It should be there tomorrow. So if you want to go and have a look at all of those details I put in, please feel free to do that. So next, a week Friday for submissions. Love to hear from you. Thank you.